We're in a series called First Fruits, and we're talking about the fact that our first fruits, where we set our beginning point, our starting point, determines our outcomes. And as we talk about first fruits, we're talking about our generosity, our ability in God's economy to set our generosity focus where it should be, so that everything else in our life lines up with Him. And so as we come to Thanksgiving, I have a very simple proposition for you today. And that is, thanks brings giving. Thanks brings giving. It's a very simple proposition, but I think that we'll expose it through Scripture today and be able to help you as you continue to pursue Jesus in the days and months ahead, especially in this week here. In a few days, many of us will gather around a table and we'll talk about old times. We'll catch up with family and friends. We'll laugh and we'll eat far too much. And then we'll eat some more, and a lot of us will go into a comatose state while watching a sporting event or playing a game or going to a movie. But that's what you have looking forward to this week. But it could be a whole lot more than that. This week for us could be a whole lot more. It could be a game changer with how we view ourselves in generosity. And the reality is, I'd like to call your attention to Scripture today and be able to just remind you that it's thanks that prompts giving in our lives. As you know, in 1621, it's told that the Plymouth colonists and the Wampanoag Indians shared an autumn harvest feast, and they acknowledged that this was one of the first Thanksgiving celebrations. But it wasn't until during the Civil War in 1863 that President Abraham Lincoln created a national day of Thanksgiving, and his whole passion, his whole heart was in the midst of chaos and people coming apart. To get everybody to calm down and to look across at each other and give thanks to a holy God for their lives, for their family, for everything, even in the midst of all the adversity. And a lot of us, we lose the spirit of Thanksgiving because in our generosity, it's said that in most American churches, the average American sitting in a pew in a church, or in our case, a theater chair, on average gives less than 2% of their resources away. And what's broken about that is that we are a people, we're supposed to be a people of God, who's a very generous and loving God who cares about all of humanity and wants the best for everybody, all of His sons and all of His daughters. And if His own children aren't very generous in giving what they have to help others, then obviously the message is defunct in some way. The message isn't going to be able to stick. It's through generosity that people are able to expose your heart and see where you're coming from. I heard an expression in college: people don't care what you know until they know that you care. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so generosity paves the way to be able to have influence in people's lives. Your kindness paves the way to have influence. Your ability to love others who are different. We've talked recently a lot about the other and how we fight really hard as a church to be as diverse as possible. It's a value that I hold deep in my heart, and I believe it's deep in God's heart. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, but He's also the Father of every single tribe, tongue, and nation on earth. And so we have to get with God's heart. Well, how do you get with God's heart? Is by being a generous person. How do you become a generous person? By being a thankful person. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's dive in. I'm going to read to you the passage today, and then we're going to break it apart as we go. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about a collection that apparently they had made a promise to contribute towards the people of God in Jerusalem. And so Paul starts off 2 Corinthians 9 and he says, listen, I'm going to send some people to you, but I don't want you to be upset. They're coming there to simply make sure that what you offered with your mouth is backed up in resources. And I don't want you to be embarrassed by not following through with what you promised. And I don't want the people in Jerusalem who are expecting your help to be let down. And so as a result, he's basically just giving them this prompting, this urge to say, hey, remember, you said you were a generous person. You said you were a generous people. You like to claim being a generous spirit in your heart. And so as such, I'm going to give you a reminder, a nudge, a push to just live up to what you say you're about. And I believe if we're honest in this room and in a lot of churches all across the country, it is time for the Church of the Living God to just simply be what we say we're about, to simply live it out. And so this is a good prompting for us as we head into a week of thanks. It's a good prompting to us to say, you know what? For me to be giving, I have to first have thanks. As we talk about thanksgiving, if I want to be a generous person, I first have to have the perception of being thankful for what I have. Otherwise, if I feel like I'm an owner, if I feel like that I'm stingy, if I feel like I'm in complete control over everything, then I'm not going to feel comfortable passing along anything to anyone else. Because I'm going to feel like, man, it's all me, and I built it up, and it's my security, and it's blah, 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 and it's all in here. And when we do that, we become a person that is opposite of what Jesus was. And so what we're talking about today is that giving comes from thanks. Giving comes from thanks. Thanks brings giving. Here's the scripture. The point is this, he says. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his or her heart. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now I'll pause there and we're going to break it all apart in a second. But just when we see that, a lot of times we've read that God loves a cheerful giver. And here's what we've done in our deluded minds. What we've said is, well, I'm not cheerful, so I don't have to give. I don't have to be generous because I'm not cheerful. I don't like it. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. And so we've created this mindset of God loves a cheerful giver to really mean, oh, well, if I'm not happy about it, I don't have to do it. And that's the opposite of the gospel. That's like missing the point completely, right? And so here we go. The point is that if you give bountifully, you reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having sufficiency in all things at all time, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be. Everyone say to be. Why will God enrich his people? Why will God bless you? Why will God want to get in your corner and fight for your favor? Why would God ever want to do any of that for us? To be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, it's meaning that it's not just about the outcome right in front of you. When you help somebody, when you give generously, it's not about whatever immediate outcome comes, but also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. You see, this whole picture here is he's talking to, Paul's talking, he's like, hey guys, you were real bold and you said, man, I want to be a generous person. I want to help out the ones that are hurting. I want to take care of others. I want to make sure that I'm known as a kind and loving person. We live in a world where both sides of the political aisle, where old and young, where everybody tends to agree on civility, this idea that I would like to be seen as a kind or generous person. We live in that world. Now, what we fight over is I don't think what you're doing is kind. Well, I don't think how you handle it's kind. But either way, everybody's trying to be perceived in life, at least in society, as, well, I'm a kind person. I'm a good person. And so Paul looks at these people who wrote their check with their mouth, and they said, hey, you know what? We'll be generous to the church at Jerusalem. We'll help them out. And so Paul says, hey, listen, I want to help you. Before you even write this check, before we take an offering, I want you to understand what this is all about. Because you might have got it all twisted and think that it is all about you and you just meeting a need. And if that's where it stops is, I helped out a homeless guy today. And it's just you meeting a need. Then what's going to happen is the glory will stay with you because you're going to feel good about yourself because now I've done made myself a god. I've done made myself an idol because I've said, man, aren't I a good human being? Aren't I a good person? Aren't I love? And he's telling them, before you even write the check, I want you to understand what generosity in Christ is about. Generosity in Christ is not about you. And it's not even about who you help in the short term. It's about something bigger. But before you can understand and tap into the generosity that God talks about in the Bible, you have to have a thanks yourself. Because you need to understand that it's not about you. When I'm thankful to someone else, the only way I can genuinely be thankful to someone else is if I understand I did not earn whatever it is that they just did. Does an owner of a multimillionaire, when he walks through and the butler opens the door, does the owner of that building or does the butler or does the tenant staying at a high rise or does somebody staying at a great hotel downtown, do you ever just look at the bellman and be, oh, thank you so much for doing that? No, because why? Because you know I'm paying a fat check to stay here. And the man, he's making a wage. And so he opened that door, not because of anything between us, but because that's his job. And so we might be lying, oh, thank you. But in our heart, we're just like, eh, that's what they get paid to do. But true thanksgiving is when someone surprises you. It's true thanksgiving is when you're walking to the grocery store and you can see the door starting to go. You know how it goes, where you're determined, like, do I run or do I wait and let it shut? Right? You're like eight steps away, but somebody just went through and you're like, man, are they going to be nice or rude or who, you know? And then it secretly, come on. Sometimes we forget the door, but secretly you're judging them. You're just like, are you evil, spawn of Satan? Or are you an angel? Like, right? You're just judging. And so when you're like that 8 foot away, here's what happens. True thanksgiving is what springs up in you when they notice you and they go, oh, here you go. And then you go, thank you. Thank you. Why? Because you didn't expect it. You didn't earn it. They didn't have to do it. They're not getting paid to hold the door for you. It's Thanksgiving. And what does that make you do? The next time you go through the turnstile or the door, or so, it allows you to get a little bit more generous because you go, oh, okay, I can do that for someone else too. At least if you're human, that's what you'll do. But each one of us, true generosity begins with true thankfulness. Because Lord, if I didn't have your goodness and your grace and your love, I wouldn't have a reservoir filled to be able to help others. And so my generosity only comes because I'm really, really thankful. And here's the thing, beautiful generosity, true generosity, it's not making a big deal about the fact that I'm the one that's able to make the things happen. It's not making a big deal about helping. It's not making a big deal about being in a position to do it. It's just saying, man, I'm so grateful to be able to be in this position, and I'm grateful that I have enough, that it doesn't even hurt me. God is good. But here's the thing, in the midst of all of that, I heard a great quote this week. It doesn't take a rich person to be generous. It takes a generous person to be generous. I thought that was so good. Because it doesn't have to do with how much extra we have. In fact, being generous is all dependent on, I remember when I was a struggling college student eating ramen every flipping day. So glad I'm not in college anymore. Love you guys who are. Go Tigers. But anyway, so for each of us, I remember when I was struggling, I still had to practice generosity. Even though there wasn't like this big check coming in, I still had. I remember helping guys out on my dorm that were having a hard time. I remember the greatest thing that happened to me was when my grandfather passed away, and at 3 a.m. in the morning, some guys lined up in a hallway on my dorm, and they brought in and dropped money at my feet, and they kept whispering, go ahead and get yourself a suit. Go ahead, this is for gas money. Whatever. They were just there to love me, even as college students. So generosity doesn't depend on one day you're going to get there. Generosity depends on what's already in here. Some of us are saying, I'll be generous when I get more stuff. No, you won't. I love you, but no, you won't. We could be friends, but no, you won't. Right? We'll have coffee together. I'll smile a lot. But you're lying to yourself. We're going to be generous when we become thankful to God. That's when you'll become generous. So let's go ahead and unpack all this in the scriptures. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. First fruits giving breaks the back of greed. First fruits giving breaks the back of greed in your life. When you align your heart with God's heart and say, you know what, God, I'm going to give generously with my life. I'm going to be known as a generous person, whether I have a little or whether I have a lot. One thing that's going to be said about me when I'm long gone is that I was a generous human being. And when you determine to just say, that's what I'm going to have. You see, here's the thing. I've as a pastor, unfortunately, I've done a lot of funerals. And one thing that's always hurt me, and I've shared with you before, but one thing that's always hurt me as a pastor is when either someone gets up in front of a room and the only thing they have to say about the deceased is that they love the Ravens or the Orioles. If that's the only thing that you have, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just saying, you don't have to figure out what people might say at your funeral. You can live out what you want people to say at your funeral. Are you hearing me? You can live out. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to get there one day and say, gee, I wonder if people... No. You can know. Because you could say, I'm going to be a man or a woman of integrity. I'm going to be a man or a woman of generosity. I'm going to be a man or a woman who serves others. I'm going to be a man or a woman who guards my tongue. I'm going to be a person that's worth talking about at a funeral. And so as a pastor, what breaks my heart is when people have to say things like, well, they were really into a good sports team. Who cares? Who cares? Did they not touch your heart at all? Did they not help you out with your lawn? Did they not give any resource? Did they not come by when you had a project? Did they not bring food over when you... Who cares? And I'm so afraid that the American church is just platitude. We're no different than the world, and we're gonna get to the place to where we're there in the coffin, and somebody's gonna say, "Well, he really liked the Raven." What a waste! What an opportunity you have to impact the world. And again, people are just gonna say, "Well, you see, here's what generosity does. When you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly." When you spend your life on trivial things, it's going to get to the end and people are going to say trivial things about you. And I don't want that for any of us. But if you sow generously, you reap generously. When you lead people to Jesus, there's going to be a train of people behind you in heaven that are there to say, I'm here because that person exists. Because they were alive, I'm in heaven now. That means you have to sow generously with your life. In resource, when we talk about, when we show you guys pictures of what's going on over in Kenya, or when we tell you about what's going on in East Baltimore, why are we doing it? Because we want to show you, here's what your generosity is doing. It's not about just the one-to-one. It breaks the back of greed. The best way I can tell you to get rid of greed in your life, to get rid of selfishness, is to give, give, give. That's the very best advice I could give you as your pastor. If you notice that you're a greedy person, if you notice that you're self-righteous or selfish, then the very best thing I could tell you is to become a generous person. Give bountifully. Give to the point. Find the point in your life where it hurts and give that. Whatever that is. Whatever, because for some people in this room, you're unemployed and it hurts to even help out with a buck for somebody that in need. Some of it hurts. The tithe is there, but man, it hurts once you get to about 12% of your income. That starts to be uncomfortable. Get to that point, because if you want to expand your influence, if you want to expand who you are, if you don't want to be the same person plus 5 years or 10 years from now, you want to be a different human being. You've got to push the boundaries of what your faith is comfortable with. You've got to get to the place to where you say, Lord, I want to be able to increase my generosity to others. I tell you all the time that Christy And I, back when I was, when we were in college, it was tough to be able to help anybody out with a movie ticket, right? And then as we grew, I realized we started to continue to give and give and give. And at first, it was kind of like, wow, we can get a, at the end of the year, we looked at our taxes, wow, we could have got a beat up junker of a car. And then each year, it looks like, wow, we could buy a car now. Like if we just didn't tithe to the church, we could be really greedy and just buy a new car for ourselves. It's just your generosity. It's just your ability to nudge. But here's the thing. God has always taken care of us. God has always been good. Always been good. But you want to break the back of greed in your life. Become a generous person. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Each one must give as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves to see a work in your life to where you become a generous person just by your spirit. God's not about, oh, we're trying to extract money out of people. Are you kidding me? There's in ministry, I see it all the time, just people, there's like 8 to 15 maybe people in the country that are flying jets around that are in ministry. Come on. Most every single person in ministry could make a lot more money in the public sector. So if your heart's just messed up like that, just get the facts. It's not true. But the reality is that there is a lot of work that's going because of people of faith. All of our early colleges were started. All of the Ivy League schools were started. Go look at their charters. They were all started by Christians that wanted to teach people how to read. A lot of our missions agencies, a lot of our hospitals started out because of the local church. But over time, the local church has just quit being generous. And so they started to cut back on stuff that wasn't essential to their church service. And as a result, church services now are just church services. But I believe we as Christ followers should be the most generous people on the planet. We go forward. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." First fruits giving is an exercise in God's grace. First fruits giving is an exercise in God's grace. Why do I say that? Look what it says. "And he is able to make all grace abound in you, so that having sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." You see, when you're able to become a generous person, when you're able to live extra generously, when you're able to be kind to other people in an extra exorbitant way, that is God's grace in you, because it's God's grace working in and through you to be able to do that for others. Because our human nature, do you ever have to tell a 2-year-old that, "Stop, you're being way too generous"? No, you grab any toddler, right? Even the nicest toddler, their favorite toy gets grabbed by another kid. What do they say? "Mine, mine." We're sinful from the start. There's your tweet. So, but here's the thing. So each one of us, we have to understand that what we're trying to break is not that we're natively generous. What we're trying to break is our greed. What we're trying to break is our pride. And so as we're walking with Jesus, it is His grace that's at work in us that allows us to go out and to be generous and kind to other people. And so when we give generously, it is evidence that God's grace is at work in our heart, that God is doing something in here. But if you find, man, am I any more generous? Just, you don't even have to, I'll go ahead and do this. Go look at your taxes in about a month and a half. Ask yourself, was I any more generous this year than I was the previous year? A lot of us would be ashamed. Be like, don't make me do that. Yes, take an inventory. Just, am I more generous than I was last year? Am I becoming a progressively more generous and kind person or not? And you say, well, I can't do it. There's a lot more generosity than money. Yeah, but money's a really good place to start. And it has a very definite parameter. That's what I love about numbers and data and logic. I love it because why? It's just true. It's math. Am I becoming more generous or am I becoming less generous? Or am I just staying flat? You and I have to really go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want your grace to work in me. And in me is the enemy of God that doesn't want to be kind and loving to others, doesn't want to be generous. And I want to break the back of greed. But in order to do that, Lord, I need your grace to be at work in me. Allow me to feel like I'm abounding in all good things so that I can go out and I can abound in every good work. Generosity comes from being thankful. Why? Because I'm thankful that God's grace is at work in my soul. But if I'm not very generous on the outside, it's a reflection of what's going on the inside. And I want to encourage us to say, Lord, you know what? Today can be a brand new day for me. There's no reason today can't be a brand new day. Lord, you challenged me today. Lord, you got up into my stuff today. Lord, your grace is beginning to work in my soul today, and I feel a stirring, and it's time for me to step up to the plate as the man or woman of God you called me to. And so today, it can be the day to where I step up and say, you know what, Lord? After today, I'm going to become a generous human being. I'm going to begin giving generously to my church. I'm going to begin caring about people at the job site. I'm going to begin caring and serving for the poor. I'm going to begin working with those who are in need. I'm going to find those areas of life where your grace, God, can abound in me. But here's the thing. It doesn't stop with you and with the person that you're being generous to. Look at it. You will be enriched, it says. You will be enriched in every way. Why? Everybody say, to be. Why would God enrich you? Why do you want to get a hold of this generosity? Why? Because He will enrich you to be generous in every way. How many ways? Every way. So, Pastor, you mean to tell me that God wants me to be generous in all ways? In my generous with my speech? Yeah. God wants me to be generous with my time? Yeah. God wants me to be generous with my serving in all things. God wants me to be generous with opening up my home. Yeah. In all things. What does it look like to be generous in all things for you? You will be enriched in every way. Why? To be generous in every way, which through us will produce, check this, thanksgiving to God. This is where Paul's trying to teach this great lesson. He's like, listen, I'm trying to help you understand. We're trying to break the back of greed in your life. We're trying to see God's grace stir in your soul. But it's not only about you and the person you're helping. Check this out. It says this. God wants you to be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. At the end of the day, my generosity produces a worship to my King. Because it's all about our King. It's not about me. It's not about the person I'm helping. It's about the fact that when I help someone in Jesus' name, they can turn around and give thanksgiving to God because they were praying prayers to God before you ever showed up. And God got involved in your heart. God got involved in your soul. And you begin to answer prayers you didn't even know were being prayed. And so all of a sudden, you become an answer to somebody's prayer because your heart gets changed and you're generous. And then guess what? Thanksgiving goes up to God. Thanksgiving goes up to God. And we say, oh God, I get it now. It's about you want to break the back of my own greed because that's not good with me. You want to stir your grace in me to make me abound in all things graciously and generously. Why? Because when I then carry out your fruit, when I carry out your love, then what happens is there's someone who's on the receiving end who turns around and gives you praise. So thanks goes back to our God in heaven when God is able to get a hold of our hearts and change our hearts by His grace. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints. This is what verse 12 means now that you got some perspective. It's not only about supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing, what? Of God upon you. They're not longing and praying for you only because of you. We get it all wrong, even in the church, when we think wow, I've made it to the place to where I'm a kind person. It's not about you. It's about God breaking the greed in your heart. Thank you, God. I'm no longer a slave to my sin. I'm no longer a slave to shame and guilt. I'm no longer a slave to the lies of the enemy. So thank you, God. There's thanks. And then, God, would you let your grace abound in me so my anxiety for fear and like, man, I can't give enough away because if I do, I'm going to be hurt. Oh, God, can you work that out in me? God, can you get rid of my pride? Can you get rid of my envy? Can you get rid of me trying to build many kingdoms with my life? God, can you work that grace? And he says, yeah, I'll work that grace in you. I'll break the back of pride. I'll work that grace in your soul. And then when you start to abound in all things, guess what happens? People are going to praise me. People are going to praise me. And so then your life is going to matter. First fruits giving is a way to give God glory. It's a way to give God glory. When you write the checks and missions in Kenya happens, there are hundreds upon hundreds of people, literally up to thousands of people nearby that are getting clean drinking water that a few years ago were praying that God would allow them to have clean drinking water. Because why? They were praying a prayer you didn't know about. And your church came and your pastors and your elders came and said, we want to be a part of doing this. We believe God's called us to do this. Not knowing the prayers had been prayed years before. But Shadrach's father had passed away several years before we got there ever. We didn't even know this. But then when we put the water well up, they were all celebrating prayers that they had prayed at the funeral, because at the funeral, there wasn't enough water to go around. There was a water shortage and people were getting sick. And so they were praying over whether or not they would ever have clean water in their village. And so they, when the water came up, it meant one thing for us, because we were like, God, thanks so much that we were able to hit this target as a church and we want to be generous and kind. That's great. That's awesome. But on their end, they were giving praise and thanks to God for answering a prayer. Don't you understand? Generosity is not about you, and it's not about even the person. At the end of the day, the way generosity works is when thanks works. It's when you start to get a perspective that, man, God, thank you for being a good God to me. You've been so good to me. I could have been dead. I could have been sick. I could have been ill. I could have been put somewhere else. I could have been in whatever. I could have been in some kind of situation, but Lord, you brought me out and you gave me an opportunity to be generous. And so, Lord, I'm going to be generous as an evidence of faith and grace that you're working in my life. But Lord, at the end of the day, it's not about me and what I'm giving, and it's not even about the person that's receiving it. It's about the fact that God has this cosmic economy that he works on. And it starts with God and it ends with God. It starts with God and ends with God. It starts with God saying, hey, there's this guy named Tolly down there, and I'm going to go and I'm going to rescue him out of poverty. I'm going to rescue him out of the projects of Baltimore, and I'm going to do this in his life, and then I'm going to call him to care about these people, and then those people are going to, and in God's economy, it all works out to where he says, listen, I abounded grace into Tolly's life. And then as I worked grace through his life, and he let me maneuver and bend and push and pull his heart, then eventually he began to be a generous person to others. And it wasn't about Tolly. And it wasn't even about the other, because as I worked in the other's life, I could hear the thanksgiving coming back from earth to heaven. And so the cycle was, it started with God, and it worked through one, and it blessed one, and they gave thanksgiving. And when people give thanksgiving to a holy God for their life, guess what type of person they become? A generous person. You see, giving comes from being thankful. As you get ready to eat your turkey or your ham, or if you're a vegan, I'm sorry for the week. We've got some vegans in here. Don't be mean now. But I don't, squash, I don't know what you would do. But as you're about to do these things this week, legitimately, let's not just make it about food. Let's not even make it about a pat on the back for how, God, I've been so generous. Let's not make it a pity party even about the person we're helping. Let's dignify the people that we help and say, you know what? I needed help too. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and his blood, his righteousness, his holiness, if it wasn't for him breaking the back of my own greed, and if it wasn't for him, I'd be nowhere. But Lord, thank you for working in me. And as I help this other person, I pray, God, that they would echo back to heaven and give you glory as well. And then at the end, he says this. He ends it all, a giving passage. A giving passage. A passage in the Bible where he's talking about giving stuff away. And the author of the scripture says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Gift. He calls giving your junk to others. He calls giving, writing checks, he calls that a gift. Thank you, God, because I understand it now. It is a gift when I'm able to help others. It is a gift when I'm able to serve. It is a gift when I'm able to have compassion and care and look out for the least of these. It is a gift to me because I get connected to the kingdom economy in all of it. This is why when you meet a very wise, mature Christ follower who is a generous human being, this is why they love to give. Because they get it. It's a way that they can tap into what God's trying to do from heaven. And they know at the end of the day, there is no U-Haul following a hearse. Have you ever seen the ruins in, like, let's say, in Asian countries where they believe in the afterlife? They would go and they would create actual statues of thousands and thousands and thousands of military men. Because they believed in the afterlife, all them they were going to go with them. But the reason we know about them is we dig them up. They're still there. We handle our possessions as though giving something away means a net loss. But the kingdom of God says, thank you, God, for this incredible gift. First fruits giving is God's gift to you and through you. First fruits giving is God's gift to you and through you. That's what first fruits giving is all about. It's about you saying, Lord, you've been so good to me. You broke the back of my greed. You stirred up grace in my heart. You allowed others to give you glory. I must thank you for this gift. The gift of being able to be generous. It's a gift. And so, God, I thank you that you've taught me how to become a generous human being, to not be tied down to my stuff, to not be tied down to what I'm going to miss out on, to not just simply give praise to myself in the mirror, but to actually give praise to the Lord who gives me all things and gives me the ability to help others and allow me to have abounding grace so that in all things I might be generous. Lord, thank you for freeing me from this world. Thank you for freeing me from this stuff. Thank you for freeing me from stress about what I have and what I don't have. Lord, you have freed me up to be generous to others. And so, Lord, when those others receive the generosity, thank you that it doesn't stop there. They give you praise. So now my dollar going to them has praise rising up to you. And so now that's how my generosity becomes a worship offering to a holy God. Because now I'm a little less bound to this earth. I'm a little less tied to these resources. And I live at a little higher plane than when I started. Because God has broken the back of greed. God has stirred up grace in my heart. God has allowed my actions to bring glory to His name. And through it all, God has gave me a gift. That, my friends, is why giving begins with thanks.